Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Folks, did you know I can prove to you from the Bible that men are supposed to wash dishes? All right, I know I've got everyone's attention now. That's right, we're going to show it to you in black and white, in the good book, the God book, the Holy Bible. We're going to prove before your very ears and before your very eyes, if you take time to look it up, that men are supposed to wash dishes. Here goes. 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 13. I hear pages turning even now, so I'll say it again. 2 Kings chapter 21 and verse 13. The Lord God spoke through the prophet and said, "And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down." So there you have it. Men are supposed to wash dishes. Welcome to the broadcast. We've got a great program lined up for you today. First, we scored big points for the ladies. Now let's see if the men can tie the game or even take the lead. Okay, men, now that I've dug us into a hole, let's see if good Bible exegesis can get us back out. Now, that was the King James Version we cited a moment ago. How about the other good translations of the Bible into the English language? Well, it so happens that the New King James Version, the New International Version, the New American Standard Bible, and the New Revised Standard Version all say it this way: as one wipes a dish. Doesn't say man or woman. And now that I've thoroughly upset the apple cart, and let me say, this has not been the first time and won't be the last, let's get everybody back in a spiritual mindset with some awesome Christian music. Here we go! It's one of my favorite Christian music groups ever, Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new. Say, Lord, it's you who gave me life, and I can't explain just how much you mean to me now. That you would save me, Lord, I give all that I am to you. That every day I can be a light that shines your name.
Our Bible lesson today is entitled The Apostolic Faith. For our text today, I'm reading in Jude, and the third verse says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints." Let me read it for you one more time. The scripture says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints." Now, this great exhortation from Jude echoes down through the corridors of time that we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. According to scholars, a Greek word in that verse, pistis, rendered as the faith, means, and I quote, "the system of religious gospel truth itself." That particular definition comes from Dr. Strong. The faith is the only single true belief system. It is a structure of doctrine and faith which guides us in all areas of salvation and life. It is the gospel scheme. Jesus himself, being God manifested in the flesh, see 1 Timothy 3:16, and being the Word of God made flesh, see John 1:1 and John 1:14, Jesus is the source, the authority, and the center of the faith. Jesus is, according to John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. So when and how was the faith delivered unto the saints? First, Jesus instilled the faith into his chosen original apostles, his sent ones. This he did over time during his earthly ministry while he walked with them, talked with them, taught them, and prayed for them. He illustrated truth before their very eyes through his perfect methods, means, miracles, and manners. He illuminated truth into their very hearts through his perfect words, wisdom, wonders, and wit. From within his pure, perfect humanity, Jesus prayed unto the Father for his disciples on this wise, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now catch this. He said, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Now that's a quotation of John chapter 17, verses 17 through 20. So according to Jesus' own prayer, his future followers, that's we alive today, his future followers were to believe on him through the words of his chosen and sent disciples, his apostles, his sent ones. For example, the only way we even know of the prayers of Jesus is that his disciples, his sent ones, the apostles, wrote down the words for us. After Jesus died, was buried, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, his apostles carried out his will by delivering the faith. Anyone alive today who desires to know and live according to the faith must obtain this one true and precious gospel scheme from the words and teachings of the original first century apostles. Any and all other faith systems are gospel schemes based on teachings or writings that differ from those of the original apostles are baseless faith systems and false gospels. Thus, the faith is now called the apostolic faith in order to distinguish it from all other so-called faiths. Of course, the apostles believed that the Old Testament was inspired of God. See 2 Peter 1 and 21. And the apostles believed that Jesus was the sum and fulfillment of all the Old Testament. See Matthew 5:18, Luke 24, 44 through 45, and John 15:25. See Romans 8, 1 through 4, and 13, verses 8 through 9, and Galatians 5:14. Put simply, no one understands the Old Testament better than the apostles, who knew the author of the Old Testament personally and whose understanding and faith were then handed down to the saints. Now, down through the centuries, certain church groups and organizations have invented new doctrines not based on the scriptures. That is, new teachings not backed up by the Bible. And even today, many in those groups, even so-called scholars, truly believe and teach that significant amounts of truth, significant revelations, were not contained in the original apostles' writings and not within their grasp. In other words, not revealed to the hearts and minds of the apostles, not presented in the package of faith, the pistis, the system of faith, the gospel scheme that they received of the Lord and delivered to the first century church. But Jude's exhortation posits pivotal truth about the system of truth that was in fact delivered. That third verse in Jude is rendered powerfully in many English translations of the Bible. One translation says, "The faith was," and I quote, "handed down to the saints." Another says it was once for all delivered to the saints. Still another says it was once for all entrusted to the saints. Oh, believer of the apostolic faith, I exhort you today to never let anyone mislead you or teach you falsely into thinking that Jesus shortchanged his original apostles, leaving them with only part of the faith and intending for countless believers through the centuries to bleed and die for a partial faith, while he supposedly intended to finally send the rest of the truth centuries later. No. The Bible teaches us that the New Covenant Age, which we currently enjoy, that's called the Church Age, was a mystery hidden in God from the beginning of the world. And it was not understood, it was not grasped at all in Old Testament times, but the New Testament makes clear to us that that mystery was opened, it was revealed, it was made plain, it was unveiled, it was uncovered in the time of Jesus and afterward via his sent ones, his apostles, such as Peter and Paul. Indeed, the faith was delivered once and for all unto the church. But since the beginning of the church age, forces both demonic and human have fought against this one true faith, this apostolic faith. They have sought to hinder its advancement and spread across the human family. In other words, ever since the apostolic faith was handed down to the saints, demonic forces have worked and used people as their accomplices to hinder the continual transmission of the apostolic faith and to hinder individual people from grasping and attaining to the apostolic faith. For example, as the saints begin to branch out away from Jerusalem, bringing the truth with them, as soon as they got outside of Judea and began to actually talk to somebody that wasn't pure Jew in a city called Samaria, there they were hindered by Simon the sorcerer. And oddly enough, as Paul began to branch out internationally in taking the truth to the masses, he was hindered by another sorcerer by the name of Elymas. You can read about Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 and about Elymas the sorcerer in Acts chapter 13. Quite frankly, some have erred concerning the faith. That is, according to the Bible. The scripture says that in 1 Timothy 6:21. So we today, like our counterparts of prior generations, are earnestly contending for the apostolic faith. We are engaging in this ongoing struggle for learning, living, and loving the truth of the apostolic faith. We have tremendous resources available to aid us in studying and learning this one true faith, pistis, the apostolic faith. The Bible is our guidebook, and the Holy Spirit of our Lord God is our guide in properly interpreting His Word, the Bible. The voice of Jesus, which is the voice of truth, is breathed into our hearts by receiving the Holy Spirit, by being baptized with that Spirit. It's in the King James Version called the Holy Ghost. This results in what the Scriptures call Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can read that in Colossians 1:27. In your own journey to discover what Jesus instilled into his apostles, the Word of God must be your final authority, and you stand to benefit greatly from sincere, godly teachers who have traveled the path ahead of you. None of us here today have reached perfect understanding, but we are all striving to discover all we can about the only true gospel scheme. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you in your search. We encourage you to study the book of Acts in the Bible. It's the inspired history book of the original first century church, and it details the actions of the specially called, perfectly trained, and God-sent leaders of that first century church, the apostles, the sent ones. We especially invite you to study the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon believers in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, and Acts chapter 19. Notice the repeated account of new converts speaking with tongues as the Spirit comes. That is, speaking in some language that they had not learned by normal human means or methods. Instead, they miraculously spoke as the Spirit of God gave them the sounds. Friend, that still happens today. This wonderful experience has happened in our day in the lives of millions of people. I know. It happened to me. And it's happened to my wife. We have 4 children, and all of them except the baby has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And the little one, he's not even 2 years old yet, he's already beginning to understand and to desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just the other day, in a quiet moment between him and his mother, little baby Gavin sincerely asked, "Can I have it, the Holy Ghost?" Out of the mouth of babes, indeed. Folks, this is the most amazing experience in the life of a human being, and it is the beginning, in fact, of becoming a new type of human. We are literally seeing the embryonic stages of a new species. That born-again, spirit-filled believer awaiting the completion of the transformation in which a new body will be given to match that redeemed spirit. A body that will never be sick, never feel pain, never grow old, and never die. Don't listen to other voices that try to hinder you from reaching this place of relationship with your Savior. Instead, listen to the voice of Jesus, the testimony of His Word, the writings of His apostles. Listen to His voice of truth. Folks, if you don't already have hard and fast plans for where you're going to be on Easter Sunday, we welcome you to celebrate with us the single most awesome event in all of human history, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be awesome, anointed preaching of the Word here at Christian Apostolic Church, along with superb praise and worship music. And the Spirit of the Lord is ever moving in the midst of those gathered in His name. Lord willing, that same weekend, we will also be celebrating another smaller victory, a different kind of milestone. CAC, again, that's short for Christian Apostolic Church, the name of our local assembly. CAC has been blessed to be able to pay off its mortgage early. We would love to have you accompany us as we burn that mortgage. We'll be joined by some wonderful Christian ministers, some of whom are just great people of God, whose friendship we're blessed to enjoy, and others are former members that have been exported across the land from CAC as their launch pad. We plan to have a wonderful mortgage burning / homecoming celebration as we enter into the presence of the risen King to rejoice in His everlasting life that brings new life to His followers. The date is March 21, 22, and 23. That's Friday, Saturday, and Easter Sunday. Friday night, the pre-service prayer will start at 6:30, with the service likely to go nuclear at around 7 p.m. Saturday night, pre-service prayer will start at 5:30, and the service will be launching into orbit around 6. Sunday morning, there will be a special doubleheader at 10. 2 simultaneous events, a Holy Ghost crusade for the adults and a Super Church crusade for the kids. Some of the tremendous speakers lined up for the weekend include Bishop Dan Garlitz, Superintendent of the West Virginia District of the UPCI, Reverend Pascal Kreitz, President of West Virginia UPCI's Youth Association, Reverend Rob Fazilor, Secretary of West Virginia UPCI's Youth Association, and Reverend Perry Harris Sr., who served as Associate Pastor at CAC before he retired, or should I say refired, and launched into new ministry territory in North Carolina. And all the kids are sure to enjoy the exciting children's ministry of Total Praise with Mike Ray and Company of Huntington, West Virginia. If you cannot come and be with us live in person, then visit us on the web at cac.us.com. There on the site, you can post your prayer needs quickly and easily. And as we help you pray about your needs and for the healing of your loved ones that are sick, you can help us pray for the needs of others by clicking through the many prayer needs already posted on the site. There are needs there from all over the country and even from around the world. On behalf of Jesus Christ, the Voice of Truth is brought to you by CAC, that's Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. We offer totally free in-home Bible studies, no cost, no obligation. So call, click, or come by. The phone number is 304-624-4459. Again, that's 304-624-4459. 4459. Again, the website is cac.us.com. That's cac.us.com. And you can reach us by email at voice@cac.us.com. Again, that's voice@cac.us.com. That's it for now. We look forward to spending another exciting half hour with you next week. Until then, may God richly bless you as you hear and obey the voice of truth.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
Hi, friends. This is Doug Joseph, pastor of CAC and host of the Voice of Truth. I want to tell you about an awesome event you're going to see me at later on this month. Messiah 2008. This is a dynamic drama production, compelling in its message. I promise you, you cannot afford to miss Messiah 2008. With a cast and crew of over 125, Messiah will have you on the edge of your seat until the very end. With a new stage, props, fabulous costumes, you will be drawn into the dusty streets of Jerusalem and swept up in the excitement of a Savior walking among us. You'll experience joy, sadness, rapture, a myriad of emotions as you are transferred back in time and brought face to face with the prospect of your own immortality and the promise of eternal life. Messiah 2008 will show at 7 o'clock each night, March 19, 20, and 21, and then a matinee performance at 4 p.m. on March 22. Messiah 2008 is a vast production by the Drama Ministry of Riverside Apostolic Church, Morgantown, West Virginia. For more information, call 304-292-4939. Again, that's 304-292-4939. Or click on the web to messiahreturns.net. That's messiahreturns.net. I'll see you there.